You will go ahead and open your Bibles up to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not communion with the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not communion with the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. You know, we've assembled together this morning because we have something in common. We've found salvation in Jesus. And in trying to draw close to Him, we end up drawing close to one another as well. And together as a congregation, we praise our Father. We praise our Lord. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 4, it says, "Coming to Him as living stones, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We are a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Do you think of yourself as a priest very often? Because that's what it's saying. We are a priesthood. And our function as priest is to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. So here's what we're to be. Here's what we are to be doing. Here is our function. And so I want us to talk a little bit about this morning in the time that we have about our responsibility in offering up spiritual sacrifices to God. And really what I want us to do is I want us to go back. The Old Testament is just loaded with lessons for teaching us, those of us under the new covenant, how we are to behave towards the Lord. So I want us to go back. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And kind of like we did in the Bible class lesson, I just want to go back to the beginning and notice some of the very first lessons that we learned concerning sacrifices or offerings. As a matter of fact, the first recorded example that we have of an offering being offered to the Lord, and I want you to notice some of the principles that we can glean from this. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstlings and of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." Normally we continue on in the story and we talk about kind of the outcome of what developed because of this first recorded offering that we have. That's not going to be the main point of our lesson today, so we're going to stick with just this offering. Now, notice something here, that both come and offer something to the Lord, and yet Cain's offering is not accepted. The Lord is not pleased with him, and Abel is accepted. And this often causes a debate. We start to wonder, well, I wonder what it was. Because, see, we don't have the instruction of what God asked for in this offering. And so we want to kind of look at it and say, I wonder, what was it that Cain did wrong here? And I have my idea about it. You probably have an idea about it. And we could look at some things and we could say, well, you know, maybe what Cain did, we know that without the shedding of blood, you know, blood sacrifices were very important. They were commanded throughout the Old Testament. And so maybe the problem was he was a farmer and he brought his vegetables, but that wasn't what God asked for. I think that's very probable. I really do. But then someone else would say, well, there were other vegetable offerings that the Lord was pleased with. Throughout the Levitical law, there were to be grain offerings offered, and the Lord commanded that. So I don't know that we can just rule out and say, well, he offered the wrong thing. And someone may argue, I'll tell you, the problem was Cain's attitude. His attitude, the offering may have been okay, but the attitude was wrong. I'm just going to tell you, for the purpose of the point we're making this morning, we know that Abel offered it by faith, which means he offered it according to whatever instruction that the Lord had given that we don't have record of here. Cain did not offer it in that way. Maybe he didn't offer it in offering what God asked for in the sacrifice. Maybe his attitude was wrong. But here's the principle that I want us to see. did you notice that the way this is recorded is that the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but the Lord did not respect Cain and his offering. And the Lord didn't respect either the offerer or the offering. They were either accepted or rejected together. Why do you think that is? That is a principle that we're going to see throughout the rest of the Scriptures when it comes to offerings. The Lord didn't say, well, you know what, I accepted Cain's offering here because I don't mind a vegetable sacrifice. That was fine. It was his attitude. So I rejected Cain, but I accepted his offering. It doesn't work that way. They stand or fall. They are accepted or rejected together. And I really believe that's the first principle that we need to understand when it comes to our offerings to the Lord. Let's look at another example in the Old Testament. Let's go back to the book of Malachi. We talked about that in the Bible class hour, so let's go back to that. And let's look in Malachi chapter 1. We'll look at some of the same verses that we talked about earlier. Look in verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I then am a father, where is my honor? And if I'm a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name? Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? And we talked about this morning. They're surprised. We're offering up sacrifices to you. Why are you not happy about this? Well, we did mention their attitude this morning, but I want to notice something else about their sacrifices itself. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. When you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord? What did the law require? The law required that when they offered a sacrifice, that it be without blemish. What are they offering? They're offering something different than the Lord asked. Is the Lord going to accept that? Is he going to accept the sacrifice when they're offering something different than he asked for? The answer is no. The answer is no. And you know, that comes as a surprise to a lot of religious people today. Because the mentality of a lot of religious people is, you know, God's just happy. If you offer anything to him, he's happy. He's just happy that you're thinking of him and that you're offering something as an offering to him. I don't think the Scripture supports that. From beginning to the end in the Scripture, we don't see that God just says, you just offer anything you want to me and I'm going to be happy with it. God had always given instruction of what he wanted, and then he expected men to offer that. The point that Malachi makes here is, you know, this, what you're offering to me wouldn't be pleasing to men. You wouldn't even honor men with what you're offering to me. Certainly, I'm not going to be pleased with that. Look at verse 9. But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to you. While this is being done by your hand, will he accept you favorably? You see the connection there? I'm not going to accept you offering the blind and the lame. That's not the sacrifice that I asked for. I reject that offering. But I won't accept you either. The offerer and the offering are both rejected by God. In this case, because we see the sacrifice, the offering, is not what God asked for. Let's look at another example. Turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 10. Isaiah, listen to the audience that he's speaking to here. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Oh boy, he's not really talking to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed years before. But he's talking to people that are wicked like Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice what he has to say to them here. What purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings and of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my court? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and the Sabbaths and the calling of the assembly. I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I'm weary of burying them. All right, I want to stop right there. he goes through and he talks about sacrifices, the offerings of rams, the fat of fed cattle, the blood of bulls or lambs or of goats, the new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of the assembly, the incense. Who has required this? You know what the answer is? Well, God, you required this. You asked for these things. And so we're offering. This is the sacrifices and the assemblies that you asked for. And God says, I cannot endure them. Why can you not endure them? Look at the next verse. It's verse 15. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear, for your hands are full of blood. Do you get the imagery here? Here's someone, and here they're bringing this offering to the Lord, and they're saying, here, Lord, this is to your praise. And as they raise up their hands, what they have on their hands is the blood of innocent people. You think God's going to be pleased with that? Oh, you brought me an offering. That's great. Wickedness is obvious in your life, and yet you brought me an offering, and I'm supposed to be pleased with that. I'm not pleased with it. But why, God? You asked for this. This is the offering that you asked for. Yes, but I asked for it from an offerer who is righteous. And you see that as you go through here. In verse 11, what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? I will not accept the sacrifice. Why? Because the person sacrificing it has iniquity. I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. So what's the principle that we see again? The sacrifice here is what God asked for, except the one offering it is not what God asked them to be. And therefore, both are rejected. Neither one are accepted from the Lord. And so, if we can understand this principle, that both the sacrifice and the person offering the sacrifice must be acceptable and pleasing to the Lord for the Lord to accept either, then we've come a long way in understanding what the Lord wants from us. We've gathered together this morning as a priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to the Lord. We need to understand this principle. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Let's talk a little bit about the spiritual sacrifices that we make today. Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. There, by no means is this an exhaustive list, but there are several sacrifices that we offer today that are mentioned in this. First of all, the praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips. We've offered that sacrifice this morning as we've been together. We have been blending our voices together in giving thanks to God, the fruit of our lips, praise to God. That sacrifice must be acceptable. What we offer to the Lord must be acceptable to Him if He's going to be pleased with it. And that happens in a number of ways. Let me give you an example. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, here's some of the instruction that the Lord has given concerning this. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When I first became a Christian, I am not musically inclined. Fortunately, this morning, I didn't have a whole lot of people sitting right next to me to observe that, but if you were to sit next to me during a worship service, you'd pick up pretty quickly, this guy doesn't understand a lot about music, and his voice is not just beautiful to listen to. I recognize that. A man has to know his limitations. I'm a little bit self-conscious of that. When I first became a Christian, I didn't sing. I sat there. I listened to others sing. The brother who had taught me the gospel noticed that, and he said, Lonnie, I noticed that you don't sing. Yes, that's right. I don't like singing. I'm not good at it. I don't sing. Fine if y'all do, but I'm not going to. Well, Lonnie, let's look at what God is asking here. God really wasn't saying that, you know, you can offer this to me if you like to do this. He's saying, this is what I want you to offer. Okay, all right. Well, here was my first step in kind of trying to comply with that. I started to hum. I would just kind of hum along with the melody of the song. And again, My brother Tom noticed this, and he said, Lonnie, I could kind of hear you humming over there, but I didn't hear you singing. Oh, yeah, I'm getting there, though. Now, let's look at the passage again. What is it that the Lord is asking for? He's asking for singing. Okay. So I begin to actually offer what the Lord asked for. Here's a point that I want to make. And what Tom was telling me is absolutely right. Here is the instruction that God gave. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. If I offer less than that, I shouldn't expect that my sacrifice is going to be acceptable to God because I'm not offering what He asked for. It's also true that if we offer more than that, we shouldn't expect that our sacrifice is going to be acceptable. If we decide, well, you know what, it says singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, but let's add instrumental music. You know, the reason that we don't have instrumental music here this morning is because we want to be careful that what we are offering to the Lord is what He has asked for. Because we want our offering to be acceptable to Him. That's what we get. That's our purpose. We're a priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable. And so we're careful to look at His Word and say, this is what He's asked for. Let's not offer less than that. And let's not go beyond that and offer something that He's not asked for. So we try to be careful in that. But let's notice something else. This principle. The offerer must be acceptable as well. A parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's a little bit of emphasis here that talks about what's going on inside of us as far as the offerer. We can partake of the Lord's Supper. We can sing songs that we're very familiar with without anything going on inside of us that the Lord instructs. When we do so, we're not going to be pleasing in the Lord's sight. If you know a song very well, you can sing it. You can sing it out loud and you can be thinking about how you need to go home and you need to get this taken care of. And this week you've got a lot of things going on. And your mind can be a million miles away. You may be offering on the outside, the right offering. But you are not what the Lord intends for you to be. Now, there may be other things in your life, too, that are going on. But even in our heart, at the moment that we're offering something, we can offer an unacceptable sacrifice. Well, it's the right thing. But the offerer is not correct and right. A number of other things. Giving thanks to His name, praying. We've offered that sacrifice this morning. The sacrifice has to be acceptable. In James chapter 4, James says, you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasure. So here is a person praying, and yet the prayer that they're offering to God is not an acceptable offering to the Lord. They may be praying for something that's immoral. They may be praying for something that is selfish. God will not accept that. But they may be praying for something that is acceptable and right, and yet the Lord still not accept it because their heart is not right. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corner of the streets that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Their prayers may have been beautiful. Their prayers may have had so much truth in them. But all that was going on in their heart is, I want people to see me and notice what a beautiful prayer I lead. And I want them to think that I'm righteous and pious. And you know, the point that Jesus is making here is, they're not acceptable to my Father. They have no reward from my Father. But their sacrifice, their offering was so beautiful. But their heart wasn't. And therefore, I don't receive either. This passage in Hebrews, doing good, sharing, same type of thing. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, Jesus says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Yes, the offering may be good. But if your heart, if the offerer is not pleasing in God's sight, you have no reward. You have not pleased the Lord in that. We really need to understand this principle. We really need to get it. Because we can err on two different fronts. We can have the idea, well, whatever I offer to the Lord, the Lord's going to be pleased with as long as I'm sincere. I don't believe the Scripture supports that. On the other hand, we can have the idea, well, you know what? I'm offering what's right. I'm offering what He's commanded, and therefore, I know I'm pleasing to Him, when in fact, what's going on in our heart, what's going on in our life, is not pleasing. In either case, it's unacceptable to the Lord. When you hear that, how do you respond to that? Because I've talked to people that, and on both sides, I believe they were sincere, but they were offering something the Lord had not instructed, and when that was brought to their attention, and that the Lord may not receive that, like Cain, their countenance fell and they became angry. I've talked to others who their life was not consistent. They were offering what God had asked for, but their life was not consistent in that. And you talked about, and their countenance fell and they were angry about that. What's the result when we respond that way to God's principle concerning what we offer? We're obviously not going to be pleasing to Him. A couple of other thoughts and the lesson will be yours. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. In Jesus' criticism of the Pharisees and the scribes, He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith." So often when I hear this verse mentioned, there's a sentiment behind it. That's right. Those Pharisees and those scribes, their problem was they were so meticulous. They were so careful. And here they are counting out even a tenth of the little herbs of their garden to offer to God, as if there was something wrong with that. I want you to notice the passage very carefully. There was nothing wrong with that. They were doing right in doing that. As a matter of fact, Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30, the law they were accountable to, commanded them to tithe the seed of the land and of the fruit tree. It is the Lord's. They were being careful to offer to the Lord what He had instructed. There was nothing wrong with that. Notice what it says. Jesus said to them, "These you ought to have done." That was good. They were being careful in that. That was good. That pattern needs to be imitated. We need to be careful to offer only what the Lord's instructed us to offer, and to offer in the way. But here was their problem. They neglected the weightier matters of justice, mercy, and faith. The things that you can't see on the outside, the things that go on the inside. That is the reason their offering was rejected. Not because they were being too meticulous about what they offered. The problem was they were offering the correct sacrifice, but the offerer was not correct in God's sight. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. That's the balance we need to strive for. To be careful to offer the sacrifice that God wants, that He instructs. And to be the person, to be the priest that's holy, that can offer that in such a way that it's acceptable to God. Last passage, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I believe this passage probably holds the key for us avoiding either one of those errors that we've talked about thus far in the lesson. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The first thing that he says is you offer yourself, you offer your body as a living sacrifice, completely, totally to God. If you do that, what's your mentality going to be? Whatever He asks for is what I'm going to give Him, because I'm His. I'm His. Completely His. How careful are you going to be about offering Him what He's asked for? Very careful. And that's what he goes on to say in verse 2. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why are we careful that what we do this morning as we've come together and collectively offer up offering spiritual sacrifices to the Lord, why are we so careful that we're doing it according to the authority of the Scripture? Because we want to prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. But the other side of that is individually, each of us, while we may be offering up this morning what we need to be offering up in the way of the correctness of the sacrifice, what is our life like? In an audience this size, I would think it would be a very rare thing if there were not those present who know this morning they're offering up sacrifices to God, but they know their life is not what God wants it to be. They know their sin in their life. They know they're not living consistently with the praise and the honor that they are ascribing God with their lips. That's not really taking place in their heart. Satan would love to deceive us into thinking, that's okay. You just offer up the right sacrifice and you're going to be acceptable to God. Understand, you're not going to be. You need to make the correction in your life. You need to be what God wants you to be. And then you need to offer the sacrifice that the Lord asks you to offer. And that starts by first saying, I'm going to be a living sacrifice to the Lord. I'm going to correct what needs to be corrected in my life. I'm going to turn away from following my will, and I'm going to follow His will. You may need to do that this morning, and I hope that you will. What's great about the opportunity that you have right now, that may be something you need to go home and you just need to spend a good part of this day praying to God, saying, God, I need to correct some things. I need your forgiveness. I need to change. But an opportunity that you have right now is you're surrounded by a group of people that understand the importance of you making that change and are here to encourage and support you and strengthen you and stir up love and good works in you. And I hope you'll take this opportunity. If you need to make correction in your life, I hope that you will make it right now. It may be that you're not a child of God. It may be you've never obeyed the gospel. You've never come in faith saying, I want to be a living sacrifice for the Lord. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I will make you Lord in my life, and I'm going to turn away from all the things that I'm doing that I know are contrary to your will, and I'm going to do my very best to be faithful and loyal in every way to you. If you're at that point this morning, you need to come and you need to be baptized into Christ to wash away your sins, to be raised up to walk a brand new life. What's different? I'm a living sacrifice now. Holy and acceptable in God's sight. You can do that this morning. You can leave here a child of God, surrounded by people who love you, who want to help you. If you need to make correction, do so today that you can be pleasing in God's sight. If we can help you, would you come while we stand and while we sing?